Reading from Luke 14, beginning with verse 1. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to share a meal in the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. And of course, Jesus had to go and heal somebody. When Jesus noticed how the guests sought out the best seats at the table, he told them a parable. When someone invites you to a wedding celebration, don't take your seat in the place of honor. Someone more highly regarded than you could have been invited by your host. The host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give your seat to this other person." Embarrassed, you will take your seat in the least important place. Instead, when you receive an invitation, go and sit in the very least important place. When your host approaches you, he will say, "Friend, move up here to a better seat." Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up. Then Jesus said to the person who had invited him, "When you host a lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives or rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return, and that will be your reward. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, crippled, lame, and blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you will be repaid when the just are resurrected." Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And from Hebrews 3, beginning with verse 1, keep loving each other like family. Don't neglect to open up your homes to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels without knowing it. Remember prisoners as if you were in prison with them, and people who are mistreated as if you were in their place. Marriage must be honored in every respect, with no cheating on the relationship, because God will judge the sexually immoral person and the person who commits adultery. Your way of life should be free from the love of money, and you should be content with what you have. After all, he said, "I will never leave you or abandon you." This is why we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, and I won't be afraid. What can people do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke God's word to you. Imitate their faith as you consider the way their lives turned out. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friends, this too is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we ask that you would open our minds, our eyes, our ears, all our senses, that you would open our spirits, that we would be aware of your spirit as you move among us, speaking to us, giving each of us something we need this day. We pray this in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Have you ever heard the expression, "He or she is a legend in their own mind"? It's quite a put down. It's also a reaction to what is often construed as the arrogance of the other person. That we realize that they think they are more important than they really are. And in truth, it makes no difference how important you are. It makes no difference how great your position or how deeply you are respected or what measure of power you have achieved. You are still not there yet. You still are called to humility. We're told that when Charlemagne had died, the great emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, that as he was being taken to the church for burial, that the bishop barred the door and said, "Halt, who goes there?" And the crier said, "Charlemagne, King of the Holy Roman Empire, the great Charlemagne." And the bishop said, "I'm sorry, I don't know that name. Who goes there? Who seeks admission?" A little more flustered at this point, the crier said, "Charles the First." You know, trying to get the name just right. "The great king." And a few other things. But again, the bishop says, "I know not that name. Who seeks admission?" And it's as if a light bulb went on. And the crier said, "A sinner who desires God's mercy and God's grace." And the bishop stepped aside and said, "Then come forward and may you receive the grace and the mercy of a loving God." I'm not sure how many people would have dared pull that. It's probably a good thing that the church had a lot more respect in that day and age than it has now. I doubt that I would receive the same kind of respect. I'm sure I would either be pushed aside, walked over, or whatever, or jailed. But it was a time of respect. But it was a reminder that people do sometimes take themselves far too seriously. Far too seriously. Such was the case that day when Jesus had gone home to dinner with one of the leaders of the Pharisees. Or we're not told that he necessarily went home with him, but he had been invited. You know, the visiting rabbi, "Come over and have dinner with us." Of course, all the while, it shows what is really happening. That Jesus is brought in and the leaders are watching him closely. Okay. How is he going to mess up? What is he going to do wrong? Get the legal eye out. A policeman was telling the story. And he says, at the scene of an accident, there are three different kinds of people who are present. that there are always the bystanders, the rubberneckers, the onlookers who want to see and who want to be detached somewhat from the situation, but are terribly curious as to what is happening. There are the police who are there to keep control and to, if possible, assign blame. It said there's a third group, a group that is far more welcome, and these are the EMTs and paramedics who are there to assist and to help. That they aren't there to assign blame. They don't care who is at fault. They only care that someone is hurting and what they might be able to do to make a difference. The Pharisees were a police of sort. They were there to assign blame. Assign blame to Jesus. Ah, Jesus, you messed up again. Healing people on the Sabbath. What will you never change? The author of Hebrews says, no, absolutely not. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he does care. That he still cares when people are hurting. That he still cares that people have needs. And then asks, do you care? For he goes on and he reminds us that we are to be careful. We are not to worry about being thanked or rewarded, that we don't do it for recognition. We don't care in order that others will pat us on the back and say, oh, he or she, you are such a wonderful person. Ah, yeah, you're just wonderful. That if that is what you're looking for, you've gotten your reward. If you're just there seeking to be thanked, if you're just there seeking to have everybody just like you and caring only for people who are just like you, then you've missed the point. This past Wednesday, the Greensburg District joined with Garden City United Methodist Church and others across the area in remembering the March on Washington 50 years ago. And in the background, there on the screen, were the buses that brought the masses, both white and black, as they came together. And as they came desiring equal rights, recognition for those who were often despised or treated as second-class persons. And many reminded us that we still haven't changed all that much. We still look out for being recognized as being the greatest or being great. We don't have that service mentality that Jesus had. We don't have that concern and that care, that selflessness. No, the people who were looking for recognition and power, Jesus said, oh, what a mess. What a mess. This is not what it's about, people. God is not interested in how wonderful you are. God is not interested in whether you are superior to someone else. God is not interested in how great you are. God is interested in how caring you are, of how selflessly you are, of how giving you are. For God is generous. The author of Hebrews reminds us that there is this way of having a reward. And that reward is that of being content and of the peace that comes with accepting God's blessing, of rejoicing in God's blessing, but not being a hoarder of God's blessings, not being one who is consumed with greed, not being one who is concerned about place or privilege or prestige, but of one who is indeed serving the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, to help us to be the people that we are capable of being only by His grace, His power, and His love. Jesus cared enough to die. Jesus gave Himself on that cross for us. And Jesus calls us to give with selflessness to a world that, even though it doesn't know it, longs for what we have in Jesus. And that it's more. It's more than all the riches. It's more than all the relationships. It is more than all the power and prestige. It is more than all that the world can give. And we remember that this morning as we join in that meal with the Lord Jesus, as we ask that He be present with us, knowing that He has already requested that we be present with Him. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for Your love, for Your call upon our lives. Lord, we ask that You would indeed help us to be the people that You call us to be, that You would help us to be a humble people, a generous people, a people who sacrifice self for others, who genuinely love and care, even as You did, and even as You have called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.